Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Syrupcast, Mobile Syrup's Canadian tech-focused podcast. I'm Patrick O'Rourke, and across the internet from me is Brad Bennett, a man who still refers to himself as the bad boy of tech. When I was rewriting this intro, I thought about removing it, but I just couldn't do it. I had to still give you that coveted title. How are you doing, Brad?
That's fine, honestly. I feel like I'm growing into it, you know? Like, maybe in a few years, I'll have a leather jacket, motorcycle, and it'll all work out, so we won't even have to worry. But I'm doing good. Nobody can see, but you might be able to hear my audio today. I am in a closet because they're building a condo building, like literally right next to me. So good times all around.
Bennett's real reason for being in the closet is a lot deeper and sadder. And I relate, buddy. I'm so sorry that you are forced into a closet.
I was wondering if someone was going to make that joke. I assumed it would happen.
It had to come out at some point.
Yeah.
And it had to be me.
So well, it truly did have to be you. That is the voice of Dean. Dean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I noticed you rewrote this intro, and I'm still after Brad Bennett, but it's fine. I'm okay with that, I guess.
It's not a catchy nickname.
Tech Trash. Just call me Tech Trash.
Yeah. It's going to be part of the pod lore of you guys dominating for co-host supremacy for the few episodes that I will continue to host, I think. John, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. My 19-month-year-old is not sleeping because she's sick and is currently doing furious battle against nap time. So that's fun. It's always fun to deal with that.
We'll try to keep the pod quick and concise so that you can
thank you.
You can get back to that. First off, I just want to get a little housekeeping out of the way. This year, so that this podcast is obviously going to still come out in 2023, but we're thinking ahead. We're trying to come up with ways to refresh the podcast, and we're playing around with a few different ideas for segments. Dean, who's obviously on this episode, he's going to be far more involved in the podcast moving forward. There'll be some episodes where he is just hosting the Syrupcast along with the Syrup Arcade cast, which he's hosted for several months. And there'll be familiar guests that some people might have heard before on the podcast. There'll be new guests. We're just trying to shake things up and do something different, but also keep the podcast a little more consistent. I think our goal last year was like one a month or something like that, and we hit that in some cases. But this year moving forward, we're hoping to have one to two, sometimes three episodes, depending on what's going on in the tech world. So lots in store for the Syrupcast audience. So keep an eye out for that.
Also, a little correction. This Syrup Arcade cast is now a year old.
Is it a year old? Totally.
November. Yeah. I'm pretty sure the first episode was November. And yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I guess to speak to that a little bit too, we're trying to find a way to make the episodes more consistent. So things that you hear on the Syrupcast and segments that you experience on this podcast, you'll also hear on the Syrup Arcade cast. That's the goal. But over the next few episodes, you'll see a bit of experimentation. So things will be a little bit all over the place. And with that said, the first segment that we're going to get into is something that Dean came up with called Sweet Tech or Tech Trash. Still not in love with the name, but I know Dean loves the phrase Tech Trash. Isn't that part of your Twitter?
Like, that is my Twitter name. I got it from Brad. I sniped it from Bennett. We did an episode of the Tech Effect, and in it, they say Tech Trash quite a few times. And what episode? I was like, it's the one about e-waste, yeah. So if you haven't seen it, check out YouTube, the Tech Effect, or no, Mobile Syrup.
It's on the Mobile Syrup channel, but the videos are sub-labeled Tech Effect. There's a playlist. You can find them. They're at the top of the channel as well.
They're on site too.
If I can jump in and workshop the name here for a moment, I think we gotta maximize that alliteration. We've got Tech Trash. So what about Tech Treat or Tech Trash?
Ooh,
so
that's pretty good.
Wow. I love it. What if
that's the rating system? You know, with the items we talk about, they can either be a tech treat or they could be a tech trash.
Well, that's the point. That's exactly what it is.
Is that what that was? It was always meant to be a rating system? I thought we were workshopping just an overarching name.
No.
The rating system.
The name is the rating system. So yeah, let's just get into it.
Wait. We got to go with sweet because we're Mobile Syrup. That's all I just wanted to say. So not like it has to be sweet. Like syrup is a treat, so Tech Treat also works here. But that was where my thought came from. Anyways, sorry, Pat.
You're sweet enough, Dean.
Aw, chucks.
I always hate the on-the-nose syrup stuff related to our lovely name. But yeah, let's get into actually talking about the device in question. So the idea of this segment, and correct me if I'm wrong, Dean, but is we're going to talk about a specific device, a specific product, often one that's like a little bit weird, and then decide amongst the group whether or not we like it. And I think this one in particular is going to have some disparate views. So obviously we're talking about the Humane AI pin. It's an Android powered pin that you attach to yourself. It's got I guess it's not a pin, it's a device. It has a pin that you attach to your shirt. The actual pins themselves work as battery packs. It was created by former Apple employees. It's powered by chat for various versions of ChatGPT. They did like a big launch event earlier this week. Was it this week or was it late last week? Yeah, last week, I think. I watched it with Bennett in the office, and it really was just us like sitting there kind of making fun of it to some extent. I think it's ridiculous. I don't really understand why anyone would want to use this thing instead of just their phone. But Dean, I know you have you like stuff like this, and you have a very different opinion than me.
Yeah, I'm a little like, I don't think I can use that word, but I'm a little like, I love the gimmicks. I'm a gimmick for anything. So I don't think this is something that everyone will ever get. I don't even think it will ever come to Canada, just because it's ran by T-Mobile, I think it is, one of the American carriers. So I don't.
It's an MVNO running on T-Mobile's network.
Yeah, so I don't think it will come here. But it's kind of cool, you know? You project the little display into your hand. You can talk to it, ask it to send a text, and then you can, because it has ChatGPT formed into it, you can be like, well, can you correct the text for grammar? Or you can you make it sound more eloquent, make it sound medieval, make it sound whatever you want. Like, that's how
ChatGPT definitely make it works. Sound medieval.
Totally, I feel like, right? There's no way you could use that device to correct text for grammar. It would be like, hey, so it says blah, 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 comma, blah, 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 period, blah, blah, blah. Would you like an exclamation mark? Because you can't see the text. It would have to read it out to you, like word by word, letter by letter, space by space. And I feel like that's just not gonna.
I was just gonna say, in the demo video, they changed the tone of it, like the tone of the text to make it more friendly or something.
Totally.
Grammar would be weird. It would
no, because if he's using ChatGPT, it can. Like, have you, if you guys
it technically could, but I just don't see that being like a use case and where you would want to, because you're interacting with. I mean, I guess the big problem with the nothing pin on like pretty much every level. But yeah, we'll get into it later.
Yeah, you say nothing pin?
Oh yeah, I did say nothing. Two hype companies. I'm all off the board. Sorry, Humane AI.
What a name for a company too.
Like all that stuff. I just like that it's like this little, it's different than what we're used to. It's not like a smartphone that anyone has. It's like, you know, it's a different thing. I don't like the idea that you have to get a separate phone number for it. I think that's kind of dumb, because I think that if I'm sending a text from it, I want it to be from my phone number. I don't know why I would want it from someone else's phone number. Or if someone's calling me, I would definitely want it if my phone number as well. Like, I don't, this doesn't make sense. It's kind of like,
it's not even you, but like people trying to contact you. Like, You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, everyone would just call your old number. You're not like, you're going to be sending it. Like, it's like you're going to have to make a Facebook status, like 08, being like, hey, change numbers. Contact me at this if you need to hear from me.
It's even older than that. It reminds me of like, I guess, Bennett, you won't know what this is, but it reminds me of like a pager. Because pagers had their own numbers you would call, right?
And then I'm not even like
what this is.
Old enough to have known anyone that had a pager, man. Like I know
it was,
I knew
it was before
existed,
all of our times.
I didn't know anyone that had one.
Before our times, my mom had a pager. Anywho, it reminds me of that, where it's just like, it's like this extra thing. I think it would be fun. It's also $6.99 USD, which is a big number in Canada. I don't know, like $2,000-$3,000. And it's
not
like,
that much.
I know.
It'd be like 900.
I like to over exaggerate.
So the exact conversion was $9.965 based on $6.99, and then the monthly cost, because it's we talked about it before, it's on an MVNO based on T-Mobile's network, is 24 a month. USD 33 Canadian. Like you mentioned it, like I don't think this thing's ever coming here. They'd have to come to some sort of an agreement with the carrier. It's just like, and I know like I'm really down on it, but on the other side of the perspective, I do enjoy gadgets like this. Like, I think they're fun to play around with. I like that there's a company out there doing something different. I would love to get our hands on one and try one. It would be like an amazing like feature project or video project or something. But I also just, sometimes it doesn't make sense to experiment for experimentation's sake. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's cool for us to play around with, but if you showed this to pretty much anyone and they looked at it and they tried it, my guess is their initial reaction would be, why? I can just do this with my phone. And that's what I saw.
Then you would pull like 7 or 8 almonds out of your pocket and you would be like, yeah, tell me how much protein is in these almonds. And then before the person could say, I don't even know, your pin would be like, I think there's this many grams of protein in those almonds. And then everyone would just be jaws on the floor.
Yeah, it would be the game changer. John, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think the most overlooked hype part of this, bringing back the removable battery in like a cool way. That's pretty much the only pro going for it.
That's fair.
Right now, on a phone, that would be sick. Like a hot swappable,
just a magnetic battery. That like
unreal.
Sat kind of flush as opposed to being like what we have today, where they're just like big backpacks.
Yeah, damn, exactly. Cool. But beyond that, like, I think conceptually it's a neat device, but I don't think any of the chatbot AI models that are out there right now, whether you're doing ChatGPT or Bing or Windows Copilot, whatever you want to use, none of them I think are good enough to, or reliable enough to exist as like a voice assistant that's pinned to your chest all the time. I don't think they're gonna you can ask it a question, but you're gonna have to go fact check the answer anyway, because chances are it's gonna be wrong or just some made up nonsense.
I'm a big fan of ChatGPT. Like I use it for my own personal stuff, and I've used it to help me with headlines or whatever. But you're right, it's not perfect, and it can.
But even then, that's ChatGPT. That's not the humane pin, you know.
Totally, but I think it's like using it, right? From my understanding of it, it's like using.
It runs primarily on GPT-4, if I remember correctly, which is like a slightly better version of ChatGPT.
Okay,
I think that's what they said.
And like, to go even a little further, though. Rumor has it Samsung will be using the ChatGPT a lot or on its S24 series for a lot of different things in the background and even in the foreground. I guess we'll get a chance to see it on a device first, and then to see it like then before we can even like use it on a humane pin. Yeah, I just think that we'll get to try out ChatGPT on a device first before we even get into
you already
see
can.
Humane.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
ChatGPT exists as a smartphone app for both iPhone and Android.
Yeah, sorry, but I mean like how – totally, but I mean like
– I think you mean built into a voice assistant.
Exactly, okay. Like built in. Okay. Yeah, exactly.
But I honestly think every phone manufacturer will do that within the next 2 years, you know?
Like yeah. That's been
writing on the wall.
That's what Qualcomm has been working on a lot for at the Snapdragon 8 Gen 3 conference. And I'm going to write an article about it next month.
One of the other things that I think some people haven't considered is, like, it's heavy. So when you attach it to your clothes, it could possibly pull your shirt down in, like, a weird way, or it might be uncomfortable. I'm not saying it's heavy, but it's like
ever since cigarettes have went out of style, humanity's been looking for like a cool accessory for leather jackets, and so I think this is kind of actually the perfect answer to that, you know? So yeah, it's like you can get a thick leather jacket, you clip it on there, you don't need to smoke, you just like puff out your chest and you're like, I'm a tech AI guy, and that's like very cool. I think the ladies like that a lot, because the guy standing in the closet for like an hour and a half straight. Yeah,
what were you gonna say, John?
He's just dreaming about the jacket. He's like, I'm so damn cool.
Oh, I remember. I remember. Sorry. It was, I was going to say the whole controlling hardware aspect, I've kind of gotten to play around with that a little bit with Windows Copilot. And it's really not that useful. Like, it's kind of useful if you don't know where something is in the settings, you can just kind of ask Copilot and it'll find it for you, which is a little bit helpful, especially on like, you know, a Windows PC, because the settings menu is like super complicated for no good reason.
It's always scary when you pull up that one app that still looks like it's from XP and you're like, wait, should I be here?
Yeah. It's like just time traveling straight into the early days of Bill Gates. But like beyond, you know, changing the occasional setting, like it's really, I just think it's overhyped. I haven't really found that much use for it that I can't get from basically anything else. So,
yeah, I'm in the same boat. Did anybody see any of the demos that they showed off in stage and be like, I want to do that? Like, there's the almond thing. Obviously, the photo thing is not going to work, because like, who wants to take photos without being able to see what they look like? And then also have to deal with the camera being pointed down. Like, you would have to hold the device up at it. Anyway, not a big point. Nobody wants to like point a device at a thing and be like, buy this, right? Because it's like, no, I don't trust that. Like, is that the lowest price? I have access to the internet. I could buy this on 5 different websites. So I'm just going to trust that whatever you get is the lowest price. Like, there's, and even when it does the holographic display of the map, it's like, and he's like, you could see cool things around you. And it just shows 3 points of interest. And it's like, are those like within viewing distance of where this person can see? Is that like, what is that? Useful to what they need. It's very, very strange.
Yeah, the one thing that I was gonna say about it too that I haven't really heard anyone talk about is like, it's got a camera, right? There's also that, so the social implications of walking around with something that has a camera built into it at all times that you're wearing. Like, are people going to take this off when they go to the bathroom? Are they going to take it off under circumstances when someone might not want to be filmed or have photos taken? It's like the glass thing that coming shows back up
when you're taking a picture in camera.
Yeah, so I don't think most people would know. Call that. It a trust light that comes on. And also, not like on all the time. It's not always listening either for like a wake word. You have to touch it to activate it.
Yeah,
he said voice though as well. That part always seemed very unclear.
What? Sorry.
I believe he also said voice activated. I know he does touch it a lot, but I like he said.
No, he says. I just rewatched it. He just says you have to touch it. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Let's give a verdict. Yeah, let's give a verdict on this thing, because we got other stuff to get to.
Trash.
I don't know. We haven't even like talked about how we're going to do it. I guess we can go around the room. Like me, it's trash, 100%. I respect a company trying to do something different, but I have absolutely no interest as a consumer in buying or owning a device like this.
Also John, trash. I like the concept, but I don't think that any of the AI stuff that currently exists is anywhere near good enough to make this device good.
Ooh, this is hard. I have to look at it from the point of view of would I buy it, and I wouldn't, only because of the T-Mobile thing and having to pay monthly after paying $700 for it. So tech trash in that way, but a tech treat in the way that I want it. And if I didn't have to do that, I would probably get it.
Cool. Fair enough. That's a balanced view. Bennett, what are your thoughts?
I'm obviously trash all the way. I mean, everybody's making a big deal about it being like ex-Apple people. And like the only Apple aspect of this in my mind is that it has like a semi-unique design that uses like white and stainless steel. And other than that, there's like, seems to be no like forethought, long road plan or anything. And the only aspect I like is the chrome charging egg. And that is it.
I was just going to say that the chrome case, the charging case is sick. I want my AirPods charging case to look like that. But yeah, let's move on to the actual main topic of the podcast.
I think we need to finalize it and call it tech trash. If the four of us, if
it's trash. Yeah, four, okay.
Tech trash.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just want to. I'm going
to
do it.
It's a dumpster fire of a product, likely to be a dumpster fire.
That being said, in the demo video, one of the example photos was taken downtown Toronto. So I don't know if there's a humane thing in Toronto, whatnot. If anybody knows, please reach out to us.
That would be,
but yeah, that was like one weird Canadian aspect of it that we were not expecting.
Weird one for sure. Okay, so the main topic this week, this is kind of our like year end podcast to some extent. Dean came up with the idea to focus on our favorite smartphones of the year and just kind of go around the room, and each of us can pick out whatever device we decided was our top pick. John, do you want to kick things off? My guess is you're probably going to have a Pixel device in mind.
Yeah. So when you asked me the question, I thought it was like just a subjective thing. So I said the Pixel 8, but then I saw the pod notes said objectively, what's the best smartphone? And I don't think the Pixel 8 is objectively the best smartphone, but for me, it was my favorite device. I like the size. I think Google did a great job of making the Pixel 8 more compact without really sacrificing anything in terms of like hardware or performance. Well, Tensor G3 as a whole is a performance sacrifice, but that's besides the point. So yeah, just overall, I really liked it. It kind of fills that niche of being a small phone without really being that small. Like it's still a 6.2 inch screen, which is sizable, but it feels great in the hand, and it has all those Pixel smarts and goodies that I like. Pretty reliable camera that I don't need to fiddle with any of the settings. I just take it out, take a picture, put it back in my pocket, and I don't have to worry about it. So it kind of checks all those boxes for me.
Yeah, when it goes on sale for like $1 next Black Friday, best deal around.
Especially with the 7 years of updates, as long as you know, Google sticks to that promise, like picking it up for cheap a year from now, you're not going to worry about it being a brick in like 2 years, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good point. But what was your non-objective phone?
That's a good choice. Good question.
Objectively, the best
Lenovo phone Legion Go gaming phone. I don't know if that's the name. FireTab HD.
The ROG Ally.
Maybe the iPhone 15 Pro. I don't know. It's kind of at the top there. It's got the best chip. It's got a pretty good camera. I don't know if it's the best camera, but people seem to really like it.
Just a little quick time out here. Do we mean like objective as in like best specs or just like best for the market? Because I'm going on the assumption like best for the market.
Best for the market, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, best for the market.
So I think the Pixel 8
buy an iPhone 15 Pro.
Yeah, I think the Pixel 8 could be a pick, honestly. Like, I think there's a lot going for it. Even though I made that joke about it, it's a great deal when it goes on sale. But even this year, there probably are some okay sales on it. And I don't think it had an enormous price tag to begin with. I think it was very fairly priced. So there is a case to be made.
That's a good point. I would also argue the Pixel 7a is probably best for the market. It's very reasonably priced, I think. And it gives you more or less the same experience as the Pixel 8 for less money.
Do you find they both have the same battery life?
I had terrible battery life on my 7A. I think I just had 11 unit though, because other people.
That's true. The one Alex had good battery life. Much better. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, I guess you know the perfect point.
Dean, what obscure phone was your favorite?
Obscure phone?
You mean AI pen?
Me, never. Yes. I only pick the most reasonable of devices. For me, my favorite phone of the year, the favorite phone I reviewed was the Pixel Fold. I love me a folding phone and I love me a Pixel phone. So it was the best combination of the two. It did everything a Pixel could do. I love reading on it. I loved playing games on it. It was a little thick, but that was fine. I also love the front display if I'm comparing it to like the Z Fold 5, because it had like a an actual phone aspect ratio that I think Samsung should adopt. I think it was pretty as well. I just really liked that phone, and I was kind of really sad to give it back. But it's not available in Canada, so it's definitely not the best phone for this market at all, because it's not.
Yeah, I was going to say, the only thing the Pixel Fold cannot do is be purchased in Canada. So,
I mean, incorrect, John. I wrote a post on how you can buy it in Canada. It requires a lot of work, but I mean,
well, you have to buy it in the U.S. and then get it into Canada. In the
dead of night. No, guys. I wrote an article about it. You can buy it in Canada. I need you guys to read more of Mobile Syrup.
Isn't it just like where you kind of have to like rent a shipping box in the States, or can you ship it straight here?
Shipping box in the States. So yeah, yeah. You do it through Google's what you buy it like through Google US, and then it works for us Canadians, and you just need a shipping box in the States and pretend that you have an American credit card. The guy who told me about the deal, he used the zip code 90210 and it worked, which is great.
I'm going to start doing that when I buy stuff in the States now. I always just do straight up 1,000 or whatever. Like
I saw a TikTok that explained that there's a way to like convert a Canadian postal code into a US
you can,
code. I don't remember how to do it.
You can 100% do that.
So he said he tried that and it didn't work. That's why he used that.
Back in the day, I used to write guides about how to watch like US streaming services in Canada. I think one of the ones was like getting Hulu. Another one was, I can't remember what it was called. It doesn't matter. But that was always part of those guides, was like converting your credit card number as mm-hmm. well as your address to be able to work with a US service. Because then you don't have to have a US credit card, which is like a thing you can get in Canada, but there's like a bunch of hoops you have to jump through. But yeah, that is a thing.
US-based VPN, would it get around it, do you think? Because it would just assume you're in the States buying it with a Canadian credit card.
Yeah,
no, but it's the billing part. Like when you have to add your billing information, it needs a postal code. It needs a zip code, not a postal code.
For some of the streaming service things, you had to have a VPN or a DNS service running in order to trick it to go through. I don't know if it works like that.
Yeah.
I used YouTube
Premium and a VPN, but I was able to use my Canadian credit card. And if anyone's wondering, Ukraine is the cheapest. Not the that is how it is.
They're in a war.
Okay.
Anywho, the best phone for the market, in my opinion, was the Nothing Phone 2. I just loved it so much. I liked it. It's not the best at anything, but it does really well at a lot. And it was fairly cheap. I actually cannot remember the price of it off the top of my head, which is strange for me. But I think it's...
Keep talking. I'll look it up.
Yeah, I think it's fairly affordable. I like... It's pretty... I'm like a person who often uses iPhones. And it really reminded me of an iPhone while I was using it. Like, it felt very like the iPhone, like an iPhone.
It looks like an iPhone. 929. Like an iPhone with cool visual flair.
Yeah, 929. It's under $1,000 Canadian. And it's getting iMessage, so you know.
Although, is that going to work in Canada? We don't know yet, right?
Yeah, it is. Canada is one of the specific destinations. Cool. Actually, the only specific one they mentioned other than the US. They were like US, Canada, EU, and UK.
Okay, you wrote that story. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so basically what it is Nothing is launching an app called Nothing Chats that will enable iMessage on the Nothing Phone 2 in the locations that I just mentioned. The app uses Sunbird, which is one of the many platforms out there that offers iMessage on Android services. And how it does it is basically they have a server farm of Mac Minis. You sign in with your Apple account on one of them, and then your iMessages go to that Mac Mini and get routed to the phone via the Sunbird platform. They have a bunch of claims about how, you know, their system can't see your messages and stuff like that. But personally, I find it really sketchy to give out your logins to a company and just hope that they're not going to snoop on your messages or do anything weird. I don't trust them. I don't think anybody should trust them, but if you really want iMessage that badly, you can do it.
Yeah. I was watching an MKBHD video about it, and he was like, why would you log in? Like, think about it. Why would you log in your Apple information on any other computer except the ones you own, right? So it is a huge security risk. but
is that how Beeper works too? Does anyone know?
That's what I was going to ask.
And Beeper does more. So the thing that's interesting with Beeper is it's like a unified inbox for all of your chats, iMessage, right. Telegram, WhatsApp. I think Slack support either is already there or is coming. And I really like the idea of having like a unified inbox for all of my messaging apps. But again, I don't want to give out my logins to anyone. So,
I know people who've used them and they like it. Not Sunbird specifically. I know some people who use Beeper and they like it.
Work.
Oh, is he?
Yep.
Nice.
He's using it yesterday at the office.
It's just odd, right? It's like, why would you take the risk? But it's cool that the Nothing Phone will offer that to those who don't mind the risk or who's like their Apple account doesn't have any credit cards or anything. I mean, or anything attached to it that can like really cause any issues.
I guess
I just wouldn't want someone reading my messages.
Well, why? What are you hiding?
Yeah. I honestly, people could read my message. I can't imagine anyone reading my messages because they would be so bored.
They'd be like, me too.
You don't want to know what my messages video game
thing. This kid has got to stop messaging his friends. Nobody's messaging him back. This is embarrassing. Like,
I'm sure Apple already reads your messages, buddy.
I'm playing devil's advocate in that respect. I don't even text. Like, I don't communicate with people through Facebook Messenger and like in GChat. Like, I don't. I truly never.
Yeah, and Google is for sure reading your messages, so you're good.
That's a fun chat for them to read, though. There's some good stuff in there.
Hey, did you get milk on the way home? No.
That's what it is, pretty much. Okay, we gotta keep going. Bennett, what's your favorite phone?
Yeah, so I put down the iPhone 15 Plus. I originally just had the iPhone 15 in this spot, but I was like, you know what? I really liked the Plus experience this year. I really liked having that little bit extra hour and a half, 2 hours of battery life. And I do think, like, for people buying a phone and wanting it to last, and with my experience with the iPhone 14 battery, or 14 Pro specifically, I didn't have any other than that, but the iPhone 14 Pro battery life last year being so lackluster for me and, like, draining so fast and just not really lasting quite through the day, testing out the 15 Plus, having all that extra battery life was really, really nice. And, you know, the phone was light, the camera was amazing. USB-C was awesome. I was so sad to lose it when I went back to my 14 Pro. It's like I had to put a lightning cable back in my car for CarPlay. Even the other day when we had that work meeting and I was testing out the iPhone camera with Mac thing, I had to like plug that in and had to like go and dig out a lightning cable because I had moved everything to USB-C. So I really think that this year was a really great iPhone upgrade just on like the base model ish. You know, I think the Plus one is worth it. I think the battery life there was just like super killer and a really great time. And like, you know, releases some of that charge anxiety that I just like carry in my bones everywhere I go all the time. And, overall really, really good phone. USB-C is like also a bit of a breath of fresh air. But that my headline for nerds only, hard to tell.
My headline for the 15 review was like, it's a pro in disguise this year. It has all of the things that the average iPhone user is going to care about. And I know I've said that in many iPhone reviews. If someone like actually follows my work, listens to this podcast, they're probably like, you say that every year. But this year it was like truly so close. Like it's very, very difficult to recommend the pro over the standard 15. For me, and so I'll talk about my choice, was the iPhone 15 Pro. The big thing was the A17 Pro chip just for the gaming side of things. Cause that my dream has always been to be able to play high end console games on my phone and then take that experience and continue it at home, either by plugging in my phone or continuing to play that exact same game on another platform. And that's what I'm hoping this turns into, where like I'm at the office, right? And I'm playing Resident Evil 4, for example. I'm playing it on my phone. I have like one of those Xbox mount things. I'm having a great time on the train on my way home. I get home. I can then continue that game either by plugging it in to my like third-party Switch dock and playing it on my TV through my phone, or I have like a nice M1 Mac sitting here. Maybe I can use, not M1, M3 Mac sitting here. Maybe I can use that to continue that experience. And that there's like a really neat gaming dream there. And like, I know you can use the Switch, you can use the Steam Deck, but the idea of being able to play games on the device that's in my pocket at all times that offer console level fidelity is like a mind blowing thing to me. And that's the key thing that draws me to the Pro this year over the standard one. Yeah. I have a Genki Switch dock. And when I was reviewing the iPhone 15 Pro, I plugged it in to just try Resident Evil Village. It showed up with like black bars, so it wasn't full resolution, but it looked shockingly good even on like a 60-inch TV. It does work.
Cool. What do you mean black bars? So it wasn't the aspect ratio of your TV, you mean?
Yeah, it was like
it wasn't the aspect ratio. Okay. So I don't know what resolution it was playing at. I got a code for Village and I plan to like write an experience about doing that. And that said, like I should also note that you can't do that yet. Like Village, which is the Resident Evil that's already out, one of the first like very high end games that runs on the A17. There is no cross save with iCloud, which is crazy. I believe Brad told me yesterday, Brad Shankar, Mobile Service Gaming Editor, who's also on the Syrup Arcade Cast with Dean. He told me that Resident Evil 4 is confirmed to have iCloud cross save. So I don't know if there's something that needs to be done in the back end on the development side. But it sucks that it's not part of Village. And then there's like also the last thing I'll say is like Apple's made lofty claims about gaming for a really long time. There's a editorial from 2015 about me thinking that the first Apple TV revamp from way back then could be like the new Wii. And that obviously didn't pan out. So I've been burned several times by Apple. But I think they're for real this time. At least I hope so.
It's a good strategy. They're using very similar chips across their whole sort of product line. Not right now, but like, you know, in theory, a few years, that A17 will be
hopefully
in some iPads similar to the M series chips and computers. And if we're lucky, in the Apple TV, because the Apple TV, as much as we want it to be, is not a great gaming device right now.
And now I know we're going to look forward at what we want from phones in the future, 2024 specifically. But before we do that, let's take a look back at devices from 2013. Dean did a bit of research and pulled out a few phones. So we have, actually, Dean, do you want to handle this?
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, let's do like a little less nostalgia moment and take a look at the HTC One M7. The Nexus 5, the LG G2, and the iPhone 5S. It's crazy that only one of these, like, series is still around. Because Nexus is dead with Pixel, HTC, and LG are dead. But 10 years ago, these were the phones that were it. These were, everyone wanted one of these phones. I mean, you could probably throw in a Samsung G whatever, but I mean, TouchWiz was horrible.
G3, probably.
Yeah, but TouchWiz.
I don't think anybody wanted the HTC One, which is why HTC is no longer around.
That is incorrect. What?
Yeah.
You didn't want an HTC One M7? No, it was so popular. Are you kidding?
They were really big.
Out of the Android phones in my like rural high school, I know there was one kid with that one, which I think says a lot, because there should be zero.
Dean's very right. Like the HTC was like that one series, the One M6, the One M7. I think it dropped off after the One M7. It was
M7 was the first. No, M7, then M8, then M9, and then they went to HTC 10.
I remember the M series coming later. I thought there was an HTC One, and then there was an HTC One M7.
There was the Desire phones too, like the HTC Desire HD and things like that. HTC was way ahead of every other smartphone manufacturer at that time. Like Dean's not wrong. They had like the full stainless steel unibody and things that are very standard today. Maybe they weren't quite as popular in certain areas, but I knew a ton of people with them.
I bought it.
It was almost like, yeah, I bought a Desire HD, and gross. I think I used a M17 for like 2 years, 3 years, maybe something like that. It was a great, great phone for the time.
Yeah, it had like that Zoe thing that like take a little videos of like 2 second videos, and like instead of like kind of what Apple does now with Live Photo.
It was almost like GIFs.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then they had the Ultra Pixel, which was just a bigger pixel to capture more light for low light images. I remember I was at a wedding once, and I had the 1M7, and I was taking pictures, and I was comparing it with my buddy on his camera, and he wasn't a photographer, but he had a DSLR with him, and my pictures turned out better because of the low lighting. And again, if he was a photographer, that probably wouldn't have happened, but still, it's just awesome. I love this phone.
Yeah, it was a good turning point for computational photography. It had a really awesome case. It was like a bunch of dots, and then if you double tap the case, it would like show you in the dots.
Oh, yeah, I remember that case.
Maybe it did calendar appointments too. I know it definitely did the weather, but yeah, that was a very fun case design, although the folio aspect of it, I guess, was pretty unnecessary.
John, you sound like you hated this phone. So if you go back to 2013, what was the
phone? We have a picture of you kissing it. You love it.
I'm not going to backpedal. I thought it was a cool phone, but I don't think a lot of people wanted it. Like, I don't think it sold very well. I don't remember seeing any in the wild. Nobody in my friend group had them. Older HD phones, yeah.
I used to work at Best Buy back then, and it did well. People were buying it.
John also.
I don't actually know sales numbers, but I do know that it people were buying them.
I don't think I started working at Best Buy until either after HTC was dead or when HTC was dying.
Yeah, you're like a baby.
There was no HTC phones when I worked at Best Buy.
Yeah, I feel like John's probably not wrong. I can't imagine this being, you know, obviously is the way HTC went. But I think it was, if anything, the start of a very slow decline. Because the 1M7, 1M8 still felt like strong HTC. But by the time they got to the 10, it did not feel as strong anymore. I don't know if that, you don't feel that way, Dean? You don't think that?
John, you were totally working at Best Buy when HTC was still around. HTC didn't die until 2018.
But they probably didn't sell them at Best Buys at that point, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, that's possible.
After the 1M8, they kind of disappeared.
Dropped from a lot carriers.
A lot of the carriers weren't even keeping them around.
I think the HTC 10 was the last phone at carriers, but yeah.
Maybe.
Had that clear plastic.
I don't remember having HTC phones at Best Buy when I worked there.
So then were you guys Nexus 5 users? Were you guys LG G2, iPhone 5S? Were you guys?
You know, everybody in this chat was a Nexus 5 user.
Yeah.
I skipped the Nexus 5. I went
from Nexus
4.
John, get out of here.
OnePlus 1, which.
No, that's fair.
That came out in 2014.
The Nexus 5 and OnePlus 1 were like neck and neck in terms of spec and price in Canada. I think there was like a $50 difference between them. I was up in that.
So you had one of the invites then, John?
Yeah, not only did I get the invite, I also got an invite to buy one of their bamboo back panels.
Yeah.
And there was only like 200 of those because there was like a manufacturing issue, and so they just abandoned it. And they were like, "We made 200."
But John, that was 2014.
It was 2014. In 2013,
you got to wait till next year to talk about that. And this is 4, okay.
It's close enough.
It's not close enough. Next year you'll talk about that, but until now you're a Nexus 4 and nothing else.
Next year we're talking Nexus 5 again as well because they got a huge camera update in the red version the year after it came out and it became way better.
And then we'll go back to the Nexus 5. Wasn't there a 5X and a 5C? No, 5C.
There's a 5X.
The 5X came out with the 6P.
6P.
5X was the first, I think it was the first phone that I covered for Mobile Syrup. I remember going to Google's office and they only had, it was like, I can't remember which way it went. They only had one of the two phones. It was either they only had the 5X or only the 6P because one of the phones got like stuck at the border. And I think that happened at like the recent Google event.
That happened with the Google 8 and 8 Pro too.
And the Fold. It happens. Just Google.
The Fold wasn't coming across the border anyway.
Somebody should get Google a boat.
You just swim across. Pat, what were you using back then? Nexus 5?
It would have been the Nexus 5, yeah. I shared, I remember reading Daniel Bader's review of the Nexus 5 on Mobile Syrup back in 2013, and that was like what convinced me to go out and buy one. It was just so cheap, right? Like $309 for a phone as someone who had a copious amounts of student debt and had just started working. Like that was full time. That was like very doable for me to shell out. And then now I think about how much phones cost today, and like we kind of don't bat an eye at dropping like a grand outright for a phone, if not more, which is insane.
Yeah. For the audio listeners, Dean held up his hand when Pat said 1 grand, as he was insinuating we don't even bat an eye at 2 grand. But I think everyone but you is still batting an eye at 2 grand, Dean.
Yeah, you're the only person that like loves the Fold. Yeah. I have yet to see someone, this is totally off topic of what we're supposed to be talking about, but I've yet to see a Fold like in the wild, other than my brother who bought one and the Uber driver 3 months ago that drove me in San Francisco.
Well, that's two that you've seen in the wild, then.
That's two.
But I've seen them.
And you know that Josh went to the States and bought a Pixel Fold, which would be even more money because the Pixel Fold is $1,899 USD.
He's a special guy.
So that's three people spending $2,000 on phones. I'm a lot of big talk, though. I don't buy these phones, right? Brad hit himself.
Brad just hit his head on the top of his closet, which looked very painful.
Okay,
but I'm like big talk. Who knows if I actually buy one of these phones, right? Like I don't have to.
I would not.
Yeah, I mean, my iPhone.
I'd love to go back in time and buy a Nexus 5, though. I'll tell you that.
I would too. Okay, let's keep this moving. This is another kind of like panel question. We've talked about our favorite phones of the year. We've talked about like looking back at the phones that we used back in 2013. What do we want to see from smartphones in 2024? Like, what are the marquee features that you're excited about, that you care about? I think the phone space is pretty stagnant at this point, so I'm really hoping we see something cool. Foldables haven't really been it for me. I've been having a great time using the pop socket MagSafe adapter on the back of my iPhone 15 Pro. And it's kind of reminded me how sick MagSafe really is. Like I can just pop these accessories off extremely easily. And that's got me thinking about Qi 2 and that coming to Android devices. That's the thing that I'm most hyped for. But John, what do you hope to see from smartphones in 2024?
That's tough. Honestly, I just want to see bigger batteries and better battery life without making phones a lot thicker. I mean, you're going to have to make it thicker a little bit, but I'd really love to see some innovation in that regard because battery technology has felt pretty stagnant in recent years. I think that would be really cool. Just, you know, better battery life.
Do you want removable batteries to come back like we're in 2013 all over again?
Not like 2013, but magnets like the Humane AI pin, I think.
That's the true innovation of the AI pin.
HTC 107 in 2013, you actually couldn't remove the battery there. So, I mean.
Yeah. Okay. Not all, every phone, but there were a lot that you could.
There's definitely benefits to battery, like removable batteries, and I would love to see them make a comeback, but it's not really a selling feature for me. It would be more of like a longevity thing. If you can easily swap out the battery when your battery is toast after a couple years, that's kind of the main benefit in my eyes, rather than carrying around 6 batteries on my utility belt so I can hot swap them throughout the day.
That's fair.
The battery bandolier would be very trendy. Exactly. Yeah, I feel that.
Dean's gonna get a phone bandolier, I think.
Did you see how many phones I had to check to see which one was beeping? Yeah. There's like 6 of them on my bed right now.
That's what I mean.
So
what do you want to see in 2024 in phones, Dean?
Oh, me? So first, when you were talking about the Qi 2 thing, it reminded me of, magnets, it reminded me of Moto and it's like Friends.
Oh, I forgot about those.
I know, that's for the us G5 to talk friends. About. G5 Friends, those ones you have to put in. Yeah. Moto had its own, what were they called?
Moto Mods.
Moto Mods!
You're talking
Moto
about...
Moto Mods.
Because those were magnetic, cool. Or they those were cool. Something they attached on. Anyway.
Yeah. Cool. There was definitely magnets, but the connection was through pogo pins. Like, for the tech element.
Yeah.
Do
you remember the one with the projector in it?
Yeah. I really wanted that. Ugh. Anywho, sorry.
I had one. It was sick.
Sorry. I know that that's nostalgia for in 3 years, when we look back 10 years and 3 years. Anywho, I would like to see the Pixel Fold 2 in Canada. That is my thing, what I want. I want it in Canada. I want it, and I want it to be have thinner bezels. And I'm a simple guy. That's pretty much it. I mean, if Google can add more intuitive like UI for a foldable display, that'd be nice. Like something that like OnePlus or Samsung does. But otherwise, that's pretty much it. And, you know, actually smart AI virtual assistants. I see you have that written down. I would love that too. I think that would be really cool. Apparently, this was becoming, but let's see how actually smart they are.
Cool. Bennett, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of those things written down that you guys have already talked about. But I guess the one thing that hasn't really been brought up is lighter phones. I think this year with the iPhone 15 Pro series, like, oh, we're titanium, we're lighter. And me kind of switching from a regular iPhone Pro to the 15 Plus, which was also, again, much lighter. And also, I think when I reviewed the Nothing Phone last year, or the Nothing Phone 1, whenever I did that, I also really liked how light it was. And so I just want lighter phones. I don't want to sacrifice battery life. I'll take a heavier phone if it gives me a heftier battery. But I find that when I've got 4 or 5 phones kind of on my desk in front of me for work or whatever, I always just kind of pick up the smallest and lightest one. So I think that's kind of what I'm looking for, is just lighter phones. But Qi2 honestly is like the biggest thing I'd love to see on Android. I love the magnet accessories. So that'd be cool.
Fun related weighty device fact. So I just got the Steam Deck OLED yesterday. Just randomly showed up at my house, which is awesome. It is noticeably lighter than the standard Steam Deck. And that makes me feel like I'm gonna use it more, because the other one was so heavy, and I feel like that's kind of somewhat related to like what you're talking about with phones, where you're like reaching for the lightest one just because it's so much easier for you to throw into your pocket or whatever,
just to navigate on. You know, I'm like perching it on my pinky finger, and that, like, you know, like kind of most of the time I'm holding it, like I'm just for you guys, like, you know, I'm kind of just, it's always on this bottom finger here, so the lighter that is, the better. What did we used to call the news segment when I used to do it? Like hottest news, and I would do a sound.
Like hottest news.
What was it? I wish I could do it. I'm sorry, everyone. I don't have it in my head right now. But anyway, Canadian news of the week. We've got some of the best Black Friday deals up on mobilesyrup.com. You guys all want to be over there every single day if you're looking to find deals. I would say the best deal we've seen right now is Pixel 7 for $1 or even free at some carriers. And I think that's an incredible deal. If you need a phone for like the next 3 years and you don't want to spend any money on it, now is the time.
The $1 deal is trash. Get the free one.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
But save your money.
The fact of the matter is, plans are cheap. It's Black Friday. It's a good time to get a plan, because that means your plan kind of runs out Black Friday in a few years. So it's always a good time to be cycling through on like deal seasons. And yeah, John said the free one is the best, but depending on where you live, the fact that there are deals at a bunch of these different carriers means that everybody should be more or less able to participate. And that's always awesome. I honestly have like a Pixel 7a and a Pixel 7 Pro at home, and I was like, damn, should I buy this? A Pixel 7 for $24? Like, I should have this. And I had to talk myself out of it. It's a crazy deal. But yeah, return of good deals. And then we've got the PS5 Slim, which I don't know, one of you guys want to kind of take that one? I know you're more interested in PlayStation stuff than me.
Yeah, I can talk about it a little bit. It's like I think Dean even wrote the announcement post today. It's like a very subtle refresh. It's still quite big.
No, the Canadian news is that there's no discless version coming here.
Yes.
We're doing the Canadian.
Well, yeah. We don't know.
That's what we've got written down.
There's a whole saga surrounding this thing. First off, like, we didn't know if it was coming to Canada or not. We figured it out like very last minute. Sony didn't know if it was coming to Canada or not. It started appearing at retailers. And then obviously it was in stores on the Friday last week when it actually came out. But what you just said, we haven't seen anything related to the discless version of the console. It's unclear if it's coming here. It's unclear if it's delayed. Like, we have no idea. And it's not listed on any retailers' websites. So I kind of think there's like some weird supply issue going on with the Slim, and it'll likely come here at some point along with, obviously, the Blu-ray add-on. It just hasn't.
You mean without the Blu-ray add-on? Right now, it's only the Blu-ray add-on.
The Blu-ray add-on, like, you can't buy, period, as far as I'm aware.
But if you were to buy a Slim in Canada right now, it's the disc version only, so it comes with that like in the box.
Yeah, it's attached to the it's attached to the console. It's the same as like if you were to buy the disc version of the standard PS5. The one I'm talking about is the one that does not have a Blu-ray drive at all. And if you wanted to add a Blu-ray drive to it later, which would be a strange decision because why would you buy that console in the first place? That version of the console in the first place, I guess. We don't know how much that'll cost or when it's available either. It's pretty weird. I've never seen this before with a console launch, let alone a console revision launch.
And it sucks too because the PlayStation 5 is very expensive, but for a lot of Canadians, the disc-free version is kind of the more cost-effective way to pick one up if you don't want to buy like a used one. And so the fact that Sony's like, you just can buy the more expensive one and forcing us all to get discs, and it upsets me. You know, I'm like just one guy standing in a closet, but I'm upset about it.
Dean, do you care about the PS5 Slim? You do most of your gaming on a PS5, don't you?
Yeah, but I mean, I already have a PS5. Why would I wouldn't buy another one.
Well, that's what I'm curious.
I have no interest in it, really. I have a discless one. It's already kind of slim. I don't really see it. It's under my desk. Like it's like my desk has like a little shelf thing, and it's there. And I don't know. I don't need it. I'm cool without the PS5 Slim. I want the PlayStation Portal that is now available in Canada. But otherwise, I don't care for a Slim.
I'm hyped for the Slim simply because my PS5 is very loud, and I want to trade it in at EB Games. So that I can get a quieter PS5 Slim. And I wanted the discless version just because I assume it'll be cheaper. My trade-in value will go farther. So I'm going to wait a little bit and see what happens with that.
Sir?
When the dust settles.
EB Games no longer exists.
Whatever, GameStop. What I'm talking about.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but with the launch of these new slimmer consoles, the old ones will be phased out, right? Like there'll be no disc-free version at all in Canada after a certain point, right? That's right.
Okay, cool.
Well, the big ones going away.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean.
Versions of it are gone.
So unless they bring the disc-free new one here, but potentially right now we're in it. We could be in a dead zone.
We just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm assuming they will, and it's a supply issue. I think we've reached out to Sony Canada for a statement, and we just haven't heard back yet.
Maybe retailers just want this one. I know we saw this a lot when the PlayStation 5 just came out. They were like selling bundles with games and multiple controllers because they're like, people are buying these no matter what. We sell the most expensive one. We make the most profit. Why would we sell one cheaper? Every single one we sell sells out like that. So maybe there's something like
retailers,
that.
For retailers, it's a lot easier to bundle because you can't give a game, like if you're selling a game at a retail store, it's a disc, right? You can't really bundle that with a discless console.
You could bundle codes.
Gift cards.
Do stores sell codes?
It's a gift card code. Well, and some stores actually do sell
digital
codes,
games
from
stores.
I've seen a lot of like Nintendo 3-pack ones. It's like one little gift card that has like you could redeem it for one of three games kind of thing.
John's been far away detached from console life in a while.
Yeah.
He's now getting back.
John's back in. Yeah.
He's really getting back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not on the Canadian news list. We're not talking about it.
Yeah. Just keep and then, the next thing for Canadian news is the University of Toronto is launching a game studio studies minor. Joining a huge gaming archive. It's a degree for people who want to study games. It offers 14 courses. And Pat has in his notes that he would have 100% done this.
I would have, like, if I went to that school, I would have taken it as a minor and then regretted it later because there's absolutely, like, what am I going to do with that?
Breaking games.
But I mean, it would have been more useful than the history sort of history minor that
why are you insinuating that this is a not useful degree? Would this not help people who want to do game development for a job? Would this not be what they would want to study?
My understanding is that it's not game development related. It's more studying the art
of games.
I'm not saying it wouldn't be useless because I don't fall into the camp where like I think that everything you go to school for should be something that results in a job. I think there's more to school than that and more to learning. But from a practical perspective, I don't think anyone's going to like go do this game studies minor and then get direct employment from that. I guess.
I guess, but the fact that it's a minor, you would combine it with like a development or coding major, and then at least you have the ability to like theorize a game. Because I think that's actually a big problem with games right now, is we just have like all these games that kind of copy each other and not a lot of like fresh.
Yeah, totally. It would be useful from that perspective. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And before we end, the podcast, you can read all about the Canadian tech news and more on Antenna. It's our recently refreshed newsletter for all Canadian news you care about, delivered right to your inbox. And we also have an on-site version on the site. Also have it.
John creates that every single week, so you'll read his lovely intro to the newsletter.
I pour my heart and soul into it every week. To give you,
it's always a good emoji at the end of the intro too.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
I really, you know, I want to deliver a beautifully crafted piece of content into your inbox.
Modern beauty is one emoji at the end to make you smile. Yeah, it's like signing off, being like, can't wait to see you. You know.
Okay, let's wrap this up. That's it. Thanks for listening to the Syrupcast. You can find me on Twitter at @Patrick_Rourke, and of course on mobilesyrup.com. Thanks for bearing with us while we try out these new segments and new structure and people taking on different segments. It's going to take a little bit for us to work this out, but I think this is the start of a more dynamic, more interesting version of the podcast. In terms of stuff that I've been working on, I think the last major story that I published was about the M3 iMac and the M3 Max MacBook Pro. Played around with them quite a bit. Did some gaming. All my impressions are up on the site. That's the last notable story that I've written. Dean, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram as My Daily Dose and Twitter as Tech Trash or just The Daily Dean. And what I am working on, there is a new contest up on Mobile Syrup now for Super Mario RPG. Is that what it's called? Super Mario RPG?
Yeah.
Yep. Enter it and you can win the game for free. You won't win a Switch, but you can win the game for free. And expect a lot more contests in the next month for new phones and other fun stuff. Yeah. Oh, and I'm also working on the best phones of 2023. That should be coming out very soon.
Hey, you guys shot photos for yesterday.
We did shoot photos for yesterday. They were very nice photos. Thank you, Bennett.
Thank you.
Bennett, where can people find you? And is there anything you've been working on that you want to highlight?
You can find me anywhere at The Brad Fad. I've been trying to be less on X and more on Threads. So, you know, if you're not over there, maybe check me out. And on the site, I have got my Apple Watch Ultra review went up recently. I also did a smaller op-ed about how it felt to use cellular on a smartwatch in Canada, which is basically like, it's awesome. It's sweet. Who doesn't want to have like a spy watch that's always connected on their wrist, but the carriers charge you an arm and a leg for it. So is it worth it for you? How much time do you really spend without your phone? There's a lot to debate there, but you can read my whole thing on the site. And yeah, I got a lot of more tech effect stuff. As you know, the video channel, we're just kind of chugging along over there. So all good stuff.
And John, last but certainly not least, where can people find you when you're not taking care of your very sick daughter?
I don't know if her voice has been coming through in the background.
No, it hasn't, surprisingly.
That's good, because she
kept mad. It at the right decimal for it to not be picked up by the mic, which let her know. I appreciate it.
That's good. I will let her know as soon as I'm done. I'll say, hey, Finn, Pat really appreciates your pitch selection. You can find me on Twitter, but I don't really tweet, so don't find me there. Find me on Threads at JMM, that's two M's, Lamont, LAMONT, and sometimes I thread there. And of course you can find me on the website mobilesyrup.com, where I currently spend my days mining carrier websites for deal content to appease reader eyeballs.
It's deal season. This podcast will be up, I think, a week before Black Friday, so keep it locked on the website. We're putting a lot of effort into our deals this year and trying to make them a little bit more editorially curated than we have in the last few years. So we want to be your source for tech stuff for Black Friday and Boxing Day and things like that. So check out all the stuff we're producing.
And actually,
and
just,
that's it.
Wait, on top of that, if you want to support and you're like not seeing a deal you like, even if you just click one of our affiliate links, you buy something, we get a kickback. Always helpful. So, you know.
Very good point. And yeah, as always, you can find all of our content on mobilesyrup.com and also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mobilesyrup. Thanks for listening.
And Threads.
Yeah, Threads. I forgot about Threads. Good old Threads. I love Threads.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.